Hello, this is Pastor Henry with our 13th Midweek Memo. I want to take this time to invite you to our 11 a.m. service on Sunday at Grove Park Chapel in Durham. Yes, we do social distancing throughout the auditorium. We wear masks, we sanitize our hands, and we control the entrance and exit points into and out of the church. We'd love to have you come in and join us this Sunday. We are located at 605 Sharon Road in Durham, North Carolina. I also want to let you know that there will be a two-week hiatus from the midweek memo. After today, the next memo will be posted on August 19. If you have your Bible with you today, we will be looking at Psalm 119. The title of this week's midweek memo is The Word and You. Now, Psalm 119 is at the center of your Bible. It is, of course, the longest chapter in the Bible, containing 176 verses. Imagine if you were in a worship service and the song leader said, "Please turn to Psalm 119 and we will sing all 176 verses." Well, you can laugh later, it's okay. Well, the theme of the longest chapter in the Bible is the Word of God. This psalm is unique for something else besides being long. It is an acrostic psalm. Each of the 22 stanzas start with a successive letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and each stanza contains 8 lines. So the first stanza starts with Aleph, like our A. The second stanza starts with Beth, which would be like our B, and so on. This psalm is a psalm of David. It seems fitting that a man after God's own heart would write this eternal tribute to God's own word. Now in the psalmist uses several words to refer to God's word. He calls it God's law, God's testimonies, God's precepts, God's statutes, God's commandments, God's judgments, God's word, and finally, God's way. Well, let's look at some of the things David says about God's word. He begins with 2 blessings for those who heed God's word. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with a whole heart. Now, in these first 2 verses, there are some activities that have to be performed for the blessings to be realized. Notice the 3 verbs found here in these first 3 verses. A person has to walk, has to keep, and has to seek. These 3 verbs suggest something of a lifestyle that is ingrained in a person's daily routine and is not a hit or miss endeavor. What is a person to walk in? Well, answer, the law of the Lord. Well, this verse reminds me of what David says in the first 2 verses of the very first psalm, where he says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." So what is it that a person has to keep according to Psalm 119:2? Answer, God's testimonies. God has certainly testified about a lot of things in his word. Things like his creation, like mankind, like sin, salvation, and how to approach him. Those things we keep in our hearts and on our tongues. The last verb here is something we are to seek, and that something is a someone, namely the Lord himself. But the seeking is to be done with a whole heart. It is easy in our culture to have a heart that is divided. The enemy dangles lots of shiny baubles that attract our attention away from seeking God with our whole heart. David goes on in the 3rd verse of Psalm 119 to say more about those who are blessed, where he says, "They also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways." If your boss, or your spouse, or your parent, or your teacher never communicated to you what they expected, it would be very hard to know if you were fulfilling what they needed or required. Well, God has communicated that information to us, and it is found in his word. If we are walking in his ways, it is because we have discovered what he has revealed to us about his ways. It follows that if we know his ways and are walking in them, we will more likely not offend him or sin against him because we do know what he expects. You know, it is one thing to know a few verses or to even commit some to memory. It's something completely different to commit your life to following what God's Word says. The first thing God's Word requires of you is commitment to God and to His Word. He promises blessings to those who do commit. Well, let's drop down to the next stanza and see the effect God's Word can have on us. Listen to Psalm 119, verses 9 and 11. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. One of the main effects God's word can have on us is a cleansing effect. For a young man to cleanse his ways, he has to take heed to or obey God's word. Again, for the word to be effectual, it can't be just read or memorized. It has to be adhered to. I do want to take a moment to say a word about young people, more specifically Christian young people. It is extremely important that Christian young people be grounded in God's word. Just going to church on Sunday or to a youth group event once a week will not be enough, I'm afraid. If there is not a strong foundation in the home and a coordinating effort at the church, it will be a struggle for our young people when they hit the college campus and are faced with all kinds of anti-Christian philosophies and immense peer pressure from professors and fellow students alike. The dropout rate from church of young adults who came from Christian homes but no longer attend any church is staggering. And unfortunately, the first step away from church usually has to do with guilt from a behavior that violates God's word. David alludes to the cleansing effect of God's word with his statement about hiding God's word in his heart. If God's word has been studied and memorized, then when a situation comes up, the Holy Spirit can take that word and bring it to our minds as the situation dictates. It is potentially the greatest preventative measure we can take in our battle against sin. In fact, listen to what Paul says in the New Testament about the cleansing effect of God's word. In Ephesians 5, Paul is talking about how husbands are to love their wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. He then elaborates on how the bride of Christ, that is the church, will be presented to Christ when he writes, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Ephesians 5, 26 and 27. The word of God is used to cleanse and sanctify the church of Jesus Christ. We have to have God's word in us to be set apart, to be made holy, and to be cleansed from sin. I'd like us to see what David's commitment to the Lord was regarding the word of God. Notice the four I wills in verses 15 and 16 of Psalm 119. There David says, I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. David committed to doing four things with respect to God's word. First, he said he will meditate. Meditation has been making a resurgence in our society due to the influences of some Eastern religions. People taking classes from yoga to Tai Chi are introduced to the principles of meditation. The practice of meditation itself is, of course, not bad, and it's a good practice. The key thing is the subject or object you're meditating on. The idea in meditation is to clear your mind of everything except what you want to focus on. In this case, David is pledging to make God's precepts the object of his meditation. Again, in our fast-paced, device-laden culture, it may be a challenge to set aside time just to meditate on God's word. However, the reward far outweighs the time commitment. The second thing David committed to do regarding God's word was contemplate God's ways. God's ways are found in his word primarily, but we have also seen how he has worked in individual lives and in history in general. Taking time to contemplate or think about motives, reasons, or outcomes regarding God's plan for this world is something that we need to do often. It's too easy to get discouraged, especially at this present hour, if we don't think about what God has said regarding what he has planned for his people. Thirdly, David committed to delighting himself in God's statutes. This is not always an easy task to perform. You know, we read things like, pray for your enemies, turn the other cheek, or count it all joy when you fall into all kinds of trials. But the truth is, if we really believe that God is who he says he is in his word, well, then we know we can delight in what he tells us to do because he loves us and it is for our good and his glory. And finally, David committed to not forgetting God's word. It seems there is only one way to keep that commitment, and that is to have God's word before us at very frequent intervals. Even better, to memorize God's word and rehearse it over and over in our minds. You know, we are so blessed to have God's written word in our own language available to us 24/7. I realize that can't be said for all people groups, but for most of us in the U.S., it is a reality. We have at our disposal more resources regarding the Word of God than any other place or at any other time in history. Sadly, it seems that there is also an ignorance of God's Word that is pervasive among so-called evangelical Christians. That ought not to be. Without the commitment to God's Word, there is certainly less of a cleansing effect on His people than there needs to be. Can we, like David, make the commitment to God's Word that needs to be made? Can we do the four we wills? We will meditate on God's word. We will contemplate God's ways. We will delight in his word, and we will never forget his word. I hope we can do those things. It is no surprise that the largest chapter in the Bible has as its main subject the word of God. I've said this before, and I'll keep saying it, but there are only two things in this world that last forever. One are the souls of every person, and two is the Word of God, and one desperately needs the other. It is in God's Word that we find the good news of the gospel. Jesus Christ came to earth, took on the sins of the fallen human race, died for those sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day, giving that same resurrection hope to those who place their faith in him. Have you done that? Please don't put it off if you have not. Contact Grove Park Chapel if you have questions about your salvation. Until next time, may the Lord bless and keep you.